Blog Talk Radio.
As we journey through this book, we will uncover, unfold, discover, reclaim, destroy, lift up, cleanse, and heal, making our vagina a sacred place from which love and peace emanate. Healing and shifting our universe as we send beauty into the world. We will heal all that comes into our cosmic, energetic, and physical space with our mind, body, and spirit. This journey is going to take us to places that we forgot, that we didn't want to revisit, but that we carry with us everywhere we go. Ladies, this is serious work. This is loving work. This is healing work. You are queens, goddesses, and mothers and creators of this earth. Let's walk fearlessly as we heal thyself, overcoming the angry vagina.
Be a cheater. You said I never wear crowns.
Welcome, ladies, to Overcoming the Angry Vagina Book Read. I am your host, Monique Nubia Sunshine. I'm so glad to be here this evening. I just want to give a disclaimer in case we get disconnected. Ladies, please stay on the line, and I will return into the queue if that happens. But we're going to send some positive vibrations in the air, and hopefully that doesn't happen. That seems to have been the norm these days. So also, if someone calls me, my phone will automatically drop. So if anybody has any questions, please delegate it to the event page. Please do not text me on my cell or call me on my cell as I'm doing the show. And I just have to put that disclaimer out because I get people who call me during the show as well. I also want to make some mention of a few shows that I am affiliated with and through another radio show that I will be joining in June. So I'm going to be needing all of my followers to follow me over to the new spot. It's a bigger family. It's a loving family, and it's through Elevation Radio, and we have shows on Monday evenings with Happy Hour in the Crew. That's with our bartender, T-Hawk, and we pull discussions from behind the bar. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is on Elevation Radio, and I will post all of the event information as I don't have it with me at the moment. On Tuesdays, we do another show called Getting It In, and it is hosted by my sister Liz and Nasir and T-Hawk, and they're talking about just everyday issues, and the events will also tell you what the shows are about. And then we have our newest show that is on Wednesdays. I am just getting the information, and I'm going to have the sister probably come on later on and talk about the show, but it's another show that we've added. I'm still getting all the names right, so it's a revolution show, so we're going to be talking about how we're going to be able to effectively start to make this revolution happen, and that's going to be with my sister Latiqua, it's going to be with Sister Sunra, and it's going to be with my sister Tasha. It's going to be a great show. And then on Thursdays, I am joining the Kings of the King Me Show, which is my brothers T-Hawk and Nasir, and that is at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Saturday afternoons, we have the Queen Me Show with my sisters Liz and Cheryl at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's a lot of shows to remember, so I'm going to put them on my page periodically. This is my Elevation family. We are about education. We are about forward movement, and we are about shifting the vibration so that we can all come into educating and step into our rightful place here. So thank you for that. That was a lot. So I'm gonna repeat it again towards the end of the show as well. But thank you for joining me this evening. We're going to start to conclude the book. The next two shows are going to be finalizing everything just so that we can move forward into the next event. And so as we continue to wrap up the book read on this particular book, I'm going to be doing some challenges with you ladies or sparking some challenges on beginning the process of healing, because we are reading these books and we're reading them and we want to see how much progress that we're going to be making in our lives. And some of us have not begun yet, and I know it requires time, it requires a lot of dedication, but if you are in connection with it, the universe is saying the time is now. The time is now. You're getting the information. There is so much out there that we are sharing. It's time for you to start working. When is it going to be time for you to start doing the work? And so, and I hold myself accountable every single day as well for adding to some of the work that I need to do with. So I'm going to be challenging you. I also want to mention a challenge that is happening right now in one of the groups that I am in. It is an amazing group, and I try to get as many ladies to join as possible in this particular group, because it is just a healing journey that is changing so many women's lives. And the group that I'm speaking on is Divine Wisdom Radio. We're doing a 30-day Heal Thyself Challenge. And I have posted my challenge for the day, and I hope some of you ladies go to the page and take part in the challenge. The challenge is a chakra test, and I'm sure that most of us have taken chakra tests in the past, but this particular chakra test will give you percentages of where you need more energy, where you have a blockage, or where you have an overload. And based on those percentages, I want you to post a video or just post information on what you think, based on your percentages of what you received in that chakra, that you need to work on your personal self. And what this will enable you to do is to identify not just what you're lacking on as far as what you need to build, but what foods you need to eat, what types of crystals that you may want to carry with you or work with in meditation, what type of healing work do you need to implement once you know that you are having a blockage in a certain chakra. So it actually helps you take what you see in reference to yourself and begin to create a plan on applying some of the healing techniques that is needed in order for you to make the changes and build up these energy centers. If it is something like with one of my percentages was low in my root chakra, I know that I have family issues. I know that I don't communicate with certain family members when I'm upset with them, and I kind of cut them off and shut them down. And it was something that I know I needed to work on. And so I began working in it and doing meditations, being grounded. And a revelation came today after months of me and my son not speaking. We finally spoke today, and it was a beautiful thing. And I'm so elated by that, because I've been missing my grandchildren, and it puts a strain on the entire family. He's going through some things, and he needed me, and I needed him. So that was one of the root chakra challenges that I needed to work on, and I made it my business to do it. And we have to be very stern and adamant on our healing. We have to be profoundly strong about our healing. We can't just keep saying every day, I'm going to do it. Let's get up off our butts and let's do it, because we're going to change the world with everything that we're doing. Not only are we going to change the world, we're going to change ourselves. We're going to bring ourselves higher to where we are right now. So we need to start doing this work. It's so very important. And right now is the time. Everything in the universe is saying, right now is our time. Right now is our moment. Let's do it, and let's do it big. And we have sister circles. You have me. We have the Sacred Woman Journey group. We have the challenge group. We have that group that's together. We have so many women in groups out there that are in support of making changes in the likes of healing. There's so many places that we can go in order to get the support. Let's do it. The support is here. Okay, so I say that just to say that at the end of the show, I was going to announce the winner of that particular challenge, but since there wasn't enough people who participated during the course of the day, I'm going to wait till people get an opportunity to do their chakra videos, and then we'll announce the winner. Now, the winner is going to get a goddess skirt. And it's going to be a beautiful maxi skirt with pockets. It's going to be elastic waistband, so we don't have to worry about it not fitting. And it's going to be in the color of the chakras. So as my company, Kush, is related to Aura Energy Clothing, it is clothing that is going to illuminate your inner essence and allow you to be able to align your chakras. When we say wear certain colors to illuminate that particular chakra, this skirt's going to have all the colors in it, so you can always be illuminating all of those chakras and balancing them. Okay, and then you also get an amethyst necklace, because the only color that the skirt doesn't have in it is purple. So our amethyst is representing our purple for our third eye chakra, and we're going to have all of that with us. So that's going to be the winning prize for that particular challenge. There will be other secondary prizes as other people participate. I have lots of goodies that I want to share. So please go to that page, check it out. Okay, so I'm going to read from the book. We're going to go to, let's see what page we're going to work on today, and we're going to work through. We're going to go to page, we were going through some of the stories, that Queen of Fool was talking about. And so we're going to go to page, I had ended off at something, but I'm going to go to page 75 where it says purge. So if you do have a book with you, if you have the Overcoming the Angry Vagina book, please turn to page 75 and just follow me. When negative experiences with men remain trapped in a woman's mind, it is a sign that they are also holding negative pain in their womb. Queen Afua asks a group of women in a womb circle to call out the man who they are still holding on to after the relationship is over. She whispers encouragement for them to share their womb stories and purge themselves of negativity so that they may be restored to their original beauty. The women are lying on the floor. One by one, let down their defenses and began to release the pain associated with the men. They called out names: Bobby, Paul, Jim, Kiwami, Joseph, Neil. The negativity and pain began to fly out of the womb souls of the women. The room vibrates with collective womb detox exercises. There begins to be a calmness after the storm. One woman sits up against the wall, wrapped in her body in a knot. She says, "I won't call his name. I hate him so. He was so cruel. He was cruel. He hurt me so bad." Tears roll down her cheek. Queen Afua puts her hand under the woman's chin and catches her tear in her palm. This tear is the hurt. This tear is the essence of who is lodged in your womb, Queen says. Cry and drain him out of the womb. Let him go so that you can recover. Continue to weep and release and learn from the lessons that brought you so much pain. Queen hugs the woman who weeps her release. That was very profound because, amazingly, I have been working with doing this show and listening to other shows and coming to find out that there are so many women who have been molested, who have been violated by people in their family, by people that are very close to them. And it blows my mind. It blows my mind. Because you know it's out there, but to hear it, to experience it and see that so many women have so much in common about a tragedy that has happened to them, a tragic situation that has happened to them. And for many years, it was not talked about. It was not discussed. It was held in our wombs. It was held in our womb centers, and we didn't even release it. We didn't release it, and we didn't know how to release it. We didn't even know that it was still there. We thought because we moved on with our relationships and our lives, and we've gotten married, some of us, and we had children, some of us, that those things were gone. But those things that were still there, that angry vagina that was building because all these things were not dealt with and all these things were just hidden through life, daily routine. We do our routines. We don't even think about sometimes what has happened to us in the past. You know, it's not until we have to go there. And so now the work that Queen Afua is doing with so many women across the country is making them identify and go back to that place and say, you know, wow, this has happened to me. And when I hear the many stories, it just blows my mind because it's like this has been happening simultaneously. Many of us are around about the same age. Many of us are in different age groups. But imagine just all the women across the world that has been violated simultaneously and how we all was shifted to do this work simultaneously. It is amazing how purpose works. So I'm going to read something about purpose. You were put on this earth to achieve your greatest self, to live out your purpose, and to do it courageously. The adventure of life is to learn. The purpose of life is to grow. The nature of this life is to change. The challenge of this life is to overcome. The essence of this life is to care. The opportunity of this life is to serve. The secret of this life is to dare. The spice of this life is to befriend. The beauty of this life is to give. The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. So we have to understand with what we've experienced through the trauma of what we've experienced, there is a purpose behind it. There is a reason behind it. And in as much as our vaginas are angry and we are angry about what was done to us, we have to understand the purpose behind it. We have to understand that now collectively we are bringing forces together with other women who have experienced the same things, and we are beginning our own collective healing. And that is the purpose. So all of what we went through, unfortunate as it has been, has not been in vain. So I'm going to open up the line, and I'm going to ask the question of all the ladies on the line, whether they have experienced something negative, traumatic, or hurtful in the likes of their wombs or just in general through any type of sexual violation. If you had to go through it all again, would you, knowing what you know now? So I'm opening up the caller with the last four digits, 1713. Welcome, sister. Hello.
Hi, sorry, had to get you off mute.
That's okay. That's all right. Welcome, sister. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm excited. Excited.
Me too.
I want to ask you, did you experience any type of violation as a young woman? And you don't have to share if you don't want to. You could just, you can say you don't want to answer that question or what have you.
Yes, I actually have experienced violation when I was 8. My uncle had raped me.
Mm.
That's not the only, I had a couple of uncles that, you know, violated me, you know, in my younger years. From the age of 4, I can remember them touching me until the age of 25.
Wow.
And
now,
I had
would
to
you
do
say,
all,
give me, yeah,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you that question. If you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, would you have wanted that? It's not so much want to experience, but do you appreciate the purpose?
If I had to do it all over again, no. Those experiences were very dramatic for me. You know, especially at that young age, you don't know what to do at that young age.
Right.
So
now,
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish.
So, I mean, I wouldn't, that's one thing I don't think I want to relive it. You know, it's unfortunate that I still relive it today because, I do like a Broadway show in Manhattan, and that's the piece that they always want me to do for women who experienced it, but I just don't want to do it no more. I'm trying to just put it behind me.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, when you was experiencing that, or as you were becoming an adolescent, what did you think about yourself in those situations? Did you think it was your fault? Did you hate yourself because of it? what was your thoughts about you after those things happened?
You know, for me, it's like, what the hell? What, I mean, you know, for me, I'm like, I mean, you know, actually, you know, well, at 4 years old, I don't really think too much. But as I got older, I'm like, what the hell is it that I got that you can't get from somebody else? Did I hate myself? No, it just made me very, very angry and bitter and more, you know, more protective as I got older, especially at 25, when my uncle was fondling me as I was driving, and I got so upset that I almost hit, like, the pole of a train station. That's just how mad I was. So I just, like, stopped the car and just got out. But, no, I never thought it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. You know, like I said, it just made me angry. I just, you know, and then from those experiences, it just made me really bitter to the point where, you know, I just got to the point where I just needed to learn how to physically fight. So if it ever happened again, I was going to knock somebody out somehow.
Right. So let me ask you another question. How do we rectify that wrong? You know, even though it has already happened, how do we be able to remove the anger from our vaginas by dealing with that? How did you overcome?
I think that doing the Broadway show in Manhattan let me release a lot of emotions that I was having behind it. You know, I finally broke down and actually cried about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had, you know, women come to me and hug me for maybe like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to let me go. You know, prayed over me. So, you know, I kind of, you know, I overcame it, you know, with releasing it to the
mm-hmm.
world.
Right.
So, I mean, so now I just, you know, have a protection for my own daughters, you know, thank God, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about that with the 18-year-old, you know. And I, you know, I just have to just, I'm just very cautious about who I allow around me or my children.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's how I overcame it, by talking about it.
I think that's the best therapy. I think being able to let it go, and especially when you share your stories, and it's been my experience on this show and on the Sacred Woman show, when one woman confesses her pain, it opens all wounds. It opens everybody's wounds up, and everybody starts to relive their situation through, and by reliving it is healing. By crying and letting it go is healing. And so it's something that you did was so wonderful in sharing through the pain that you've experienced. So I look at it as something that's so purposeful, because now it has a greater meaning than what it was. And although it was something so horrible that had happened, look how many lives is going to change just by your experience alone.
You know what's funny?
Mm-hmm.
Someone at that show, well, the director of the show, because I cried about it, she told me I was weak for crying.
Wow. And it was a man?
No, it was a woman.
It was a woman. She hasn't
mm-hmm.
dealt with her own pain. She hasn't dealt with her own pain, and she, you know, anytime that anyone comes at you and attacks you on something that you've done, it is a scream about what they're going through. That is an angry vagina screaming at you, because you were able to open up, and she's not. And unfortunately, whatever her situation was, instead of empowering you and to empower herself, she didn't see any resolve in what you shared. You know, a lot of us are going to be out there in the healing aspect. There are going to be many of us out there in the healing aspect. I might say something that may move, say there's 20 women in the crowd, and I might move 5 women in that crowd. And there may be the other 15 women who is not moved at all. There may be another sister to come in after me and do a lecture, and she might move 5 other women, and those other 10 women might not be moved at all. There might be another woman to come in and do a lecture or do a speech or do something in healing, and she may move all 10 of those women. So we have to understand that because we share our stories with other people, not everybody is going to be ready to receive it. But for those who have received it, allow them to give you the energy to continue to do what you do, because you moved people in that room. And she may have been the only person that was not ready to deal with her stuff, or maybe the situation wasn't in a drastic enough place for her to have to recognize it. You know, sometimes for some of us, there's levels. You know, some of us fall one step off the ladder and we know better. Some of us fall 10 steps off the ladder and we know better. Some of us have to hit the rock bottom and bang our head and be unconscious for us to get it. And sometimes those are those kind of people that have to really hit hard and really feel it, feel the pain, before they could even make a move in a direction of healing. And that is, I can't say that it's unfortunate, because it is what they need. So everybody's purpose is divinely theirs, and everybody's experience is divinely theirs. It just depends on what the trigger is, you know. So, you know, I get it, you know, and I think that's the beauty part of learning how to understand everyone that comes to you. Not everybody's ready. And when we first spoke, and I knew there was a lot of things that you were holding back. And as I see you grow, as I see you come out of this cocoon and become this beautiful butterfly, you are shedding so much of that extra layer of cocoon off of you, and you are becoming such glowing, beautiful butterfly, and you are connecting to so many women that you are moving, people who are life workers and people who light workers and people who are healers are being moved by you. So that is power in itself, and that power may not move some people, but it's moving a great deal. So I commend you just on being able to share. I see your growth, sister, and I love it. It's beautiful. Keep doing it. I'm going to open up another line. Thank you so much, Poetress, for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm going to open up another caller with the last four digits of 2136. Welcome.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, beautiful. How are you this evening?
I'm well. Good. Glad to be here.
So I asked you the same question. Being that you know what you know now in your journey that you are on now, if you had to go through that pain again, would you have, because of the outcome of where you are now?
I would say, I'm on the borderline of no and yes. Mm-hmm. The experience was, it was traumatic for me, mm-hmm. but I learned how to love through it. I learned how to mm-hmm. Continue to express love to that person and not anger and hatred. And I learned how to forgive and become more of a forgiving person through it, because mm-hmm. The person was extremely close to me. So so in that, my understanding of the entire situation was it was something that Spirit allowed me to move through. It was not my fault. Mm-hmm. It was nothing that I carried as I did something, you know, but the person who did it, you know, was just, you know, in that place of illness, and all you can do mm-hmm. is, for me, all you can do is, you know, bless and pray for that person and pray that they do not continue that pattern, because it hurts and it scars and it's unloving, you know, but, you know, people out there need help just as well as we do in certain areas of our life. So I learned a mm-hmm. lot of forgiveness and did a lot of forgiveness work through it. And mm-hmm. it started out negative, but it ended out, you know, a process of healing for me. And I am grateful for that healing.
Mhm. I know that's a tough question, and I don't I don't mean to pose it to put people in an awkward position, but it's something that we have to think about when we start working with ourselves, because we do have to learn that forgiveness piece. We do have to learn how to see why it happened, because you still have some women that are blaming themselves, and you still have some women that are saying, why did that happen to me, and don't understand the purpose behind it. So we want to understand that even though it was, it's horrible and there's so many occasions that this has happened, once you start working with yourself on healing, and once you start learning about how energy works, and you look at the energy of what's happening right now with all these women coming together and saying, I got to heal from this thing, it makes you wonder that because this has happened to so many of us, had it not happened, what would we be doing? What would be going on right now? You know, so it's a tricky question, but it gets you to thinking about how much you've evolved. You know, how much have you evolved from this situation? What do you look at it as now? And how did you see yourself when that, after it happened? You know, and that's my question for you now. How did you see yourself after that has happened to you?
I see myself as, you know, I've seen, not see now, because I'm not accepting or embracing that aspect of myself, because it's no longer valid. I'm no longer giving it, you know, I'm not
power.
Giving it any power. Yeah, it doesn't belong to me. You know, it's my past, and it's not my divinity. It's not who I am. It's not what I'm moving in right now. It can't hold me back. So it's, you know,
so we'll speak in that. We'll speak in the present. We will speak in the present, because what I am learning, and I don't mean to cut you off, I don't want you to have to go there if you overcome it. You know, I mean, if it's to benefit anybody else, that's more or less what I'd rather it be. But if you were in present time, then we can affirm it as present time, how you are now, as opposed to where you were.
Yeah, I mean, it was my baggage, you know,
and
you know, I've let it go. So right now, where I'm at is that, wherever that person is, I'm no longer attached to that situation.
Right.
And for me, it's filling. It's a place of gratitude for me, because as soon as I was able to let it go, I was able to free a lot of things in my life that caused me pain that I created through the pain. So once I let that go, I was able to let other things go as well. And that's what continues to bless me each day, is the fact that, you know, I moved past it.
Right. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to open up another call, and I may come back to you a little later on. Thank you so much for sharing, Rochelle. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, I'm going to open the caller with the last four digits of 5761. Welcome. 5761, you're live. Welcome.
Hello, this is Tanya. What's up?
Hello. Welcome. Peace, sister.
Sorry, you caught me off guard. I didn't know. That is
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm used to press the one if I want to talk.
the calls aren't full yet, but they're almost there. when the queue gets full, then. But I want to ask you, and you don't have to share if you don't want to, but I was asking the ladies on the line, you know, would you have you experienced any violation? And you don't have to be in detail about it. You can just say yes or no. And if you did, would you do it all over again because of your outcome? So would you say, for instance, now that you've learned and you're on the path of healing, And would you do it all over again, or would you change anything and what has happened?
Well, I haven't experienced any sexual violation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
What
would you say then we need to teach our daughters or women who have been violated? What do you think, in your opinion, that we need to teach them in order to help them in healing or assist them in helping them heal?
I have some friends who experienced it, and we, you know, they share it with me. I think what you said for me, like with other experiences that I had, is that sharing is like the biggest. Where my healing has started is when I began to share with other women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, share your story and don't keep, you know, we tend to keep things bottled up because we're fearful of people finding out.
It's a difficult thing to talk about because a lot of us, some of us block it out completely. You know, some women don't start to realize that this happened. Like, that happened to me. I didn't realize that I was violated until I started doing the sacred woman work, which was like in July. And so July of last year. And I totally blacked it out, but it wasn't any sexual crime is whether it be penetration, whether it's molestation, whether it's touching, groping, whatever, is a crime. How I was violated was not through penetration, but it was touching. It was inappropriate touching. It was inappropriate groping. And I blacked it out because not so much blacked it out, but it was like I didn't look at it as abuse because it wasn't penetration. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they was just playing around, or they was just touching me, or putting me on their lap and dancing. It didn't dawn on me till I got older that it was a violation because I was 4 years old and this person was a teenager. So I shouldn't have been sitting in this person's lap, and they shouldn't have been grinding up underneath me and touching me inappropriately. But when I was younger, I didn't really think that much of it. So it was something that I totally dismissed as a level of violation when it was, you know. And so God only knows how many other things that could have been completely blocked out, you know. But what, you know, what we deal with when we come up and how we place it and what perspectives we put on in our lives, you know, if we don't start to discuss it, it just lies dormant in our bodies. And that's what Queen of Fool is saying in the book, is like, if we don't start to let go and start calling these names out of these men that violated us, they just reside in our spirit. They just hold on to a part of ourselves that is lost to them. And we have to start letting it go. We have to start expressing it and speaking and saying it out loud, or saying it even in, if it's just you on your own, or writing it out, screaming it out, will help us be able to remove some of that pain, and we won't be adding to create the angry vagina. You know, so
exactly.
Are you familiar with the book Overcoming the Angry Vagina?
Yeah, I don't have that one. I have the first book.
Oh, the Sacred Woman one, or the Heal Thyself one is one of those.
I'm sorry, the Sacred Woman is the one I have.
Okay. Well, we did a book read on that one a while back, and I'll post some of the information to the to my page so that anybody who's interested can definitely catch up with that. But thank you so much for calling. I'm going to go back
to the
book read. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the book, and I'm just going to warn you, the passage that I'm going to read is a little graphic. It's something that Queen wrote about incest, and it's on page 83. Hi, Daddy. No. Daddy, I don't want to play that game again. No, Daddy, you are hurting me. Mommy, help me. I have experienced abuse, violation, love loss, and deception within my womb, soul self. I hated my father. When he wasn't sexing me and giving me nice things and helping me complete my homework. On Saturdays, he took me to dance and piano lessons. This confused me because I wanted to hate my father for forcing sex on me and stealing my innocence. Now that I'm a woman, I keep asking myself, how could my father hurt me like that over and over again? How can I trust any man? They told me what happened. It happened from generation to generation. His father had committed incest with his daughters, my aunts. Sometimes I think that the poison in my family goes way back to slavery, maybe 6 or 7 generations back. I think it takes a lot of hate for a father to rape his daughter. Fathers sex their daughters, uncles sex their nieces, and even brothers sex their sisters. My father raped me. How could he do that? Why did he do that to me? I feel a lot of pain. I am mad as hell. Recently, the community was made aware of a father having sex with his 4 daughters, ages from 6 to 14. A household was filled with endless shouts of, Daddy, stop, you're hurting me. Please stop. How did this abusive behavior become the norm in this family's existence? How did night cries and screaming become accepted family dialogue? How far back and how deep does this damage go? What is to become of these daughters when they grow into women and bear children? Will they find or will they have mates? Will their offspring become a part of another generation of incest, pain, and abuse? How many damaged wounds and hearts and spirits have to be passed through the bloodline from generation to generation? This kind of touches home for me a little bit because I've been knowing about some things in my own family that is horrible, and more in particular about things my mother experienced. And family members and secrets and things that they kept secret because it was shameful. And being that they know that these things are shameful, these things continued. And so I'm thankful that what was continued with my mother did not continue to me and my daughters on the level of where my daughter in the way that my mother received it. So how do we begin to stop the generation abuse that goes from family member to family member? And I'm going to open that question to the caller with the last 4 digits of 9654. Welcome. 9654, you're on the air. Okay, maybe they don't want to speak or they don't know that they're on. I'll go to the next caller. Caller with the last 4 digits of 7038, welcome. Hello? Okay, let's try another caller. Caller with the last 4 digits, I think I called that number, so I'm going to go to another caller. Caller with the last 4 digits of 4861. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi, Hepsis. Thank you.
Hepsis, welcome. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited.
I'm
energy. I'm just like being a
Awesome news. Well, awesome news.
Because now I forgot what I was supposed to say.
Okay. Oh, so my question is, how do we begin to end this pattern of abuse that goes on from generation to generation when it comes to molestation? What do you think your solution?
Mm-hmm. First of all, and I've unfortunately, and yet still fortunately, I come from a family that has this issue on both sides. My dad's side of the family, one of my cousins, he was molested by his father, and then when he would come home with my aunt, he would fondle the other children. You know, let's play doctor, let's do this, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Carried a burden of guilt for a long time because as kids, you would hear the grown people say, well, it's normal. You know, you say, well, he's touching himself or he's touching me. And you would hear the family say, well, that's normal. Y'all are kids. Y'all are finding out about yourselves. So they would kind of
mm-hmm.
blow it up. My cousin had did something inappropriate to me one time, and I never said anything. And I just told him, I said, the next time you do that, you know, me, you're going to have some problems. And I might have been maybe about 10 or 11. And
mm-hmm.
so like, we were playing. I didn't mean to do it. You know, that's how he kind of shrugged it off or swept it under the rug. Well, lo and behold, at 19, I ended up with a little sister. And instead of fondling and playing with her, he raped her. Not only did he rape her, because my grandmother and them were Kojic and Church of God in Christ, and, you know, we can't tell anybody, and mama's known throughout the city for the church, and bishop this, and somebody that's going to know, and it's just, it's, you know, as we always know, it's shameful. Well, we didn't tell about my little sister, so he started hanging out with our cousins, and he began to rape the girls in our cousin's house.
Mm.
This be a secret. It cannot, it happens to us, those of us that it has happened to, with fondling, touching, feeling, kissing, inappropriate
yes.
touch, period, across the board. If we don't speak out, we give them the energy that they need to continue to cause other suffering. If we
mm-hmm.
step out and say that this is not right, and we tell and we scream it from the rooftops, and we let everybody know that this individual is not the individual that you want around your child unsupervised, even if you don't want to say what it was, the fact that you would say, hey, I understand if we're going to go over Aunt Sue's house, you know, if her son's going to be there, then you have to tell Aunt Sue that she can't leave your baby home with her son. You know, and put some stipulations and some limitations on it. I get it that everybody's not comfortable. And I carry
mm-hmm.
sorrow that I was not paying attention enough to see it as a domino effect. Because had I told on what he'd done to me, my sister wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be with her issues today because something would have been done almost 10 years prior to. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So secret can be, it saves face, but it hurts, and it almost makes you a participant in allowing this monster that is developing in these sick individuals to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So we must
yeah.
start speaking out, ladies. We have to, if you want to protect your daughters, your sons, your children, you have to share your story. You're not the perfect mom, and it's okay not to be a perfect mom. It's okay to let them know where you got your scars from and why you feel like you feel about them dating and why you feel how you feel about men being around them. And, you know, I have a girlfriend now that she went through molestation as a child, and she has dedicated that until her children are 21 of age or gone to college, she will not have a man. And she's like, I don't want to deal with anything until I don't have any kids in my house, because if a man was to do to my children what my mother let her man do to me, I'm not going to be here for my children. And at this point,
right.
we begin to ourselves, ladies. We begin to really self-inflict mental and emotional scars amongst ourselves. It becomes no longer an outside problem, but it is now a man versus man, being versus being internal battle. If you ever want to be free, face it. Face it. Call that thing by name. Whether that person is dead or alive, call that thing by name. Thank that thing for the experience. I thank you for the experience, but right now I want my life back. And so I'm going to release your negativity in on my life, and I'm going to fill that empty space that I freed you from in my life. And I'm going to fill that love. And I'm going to fill that space with positive energy and positive people. And in that, you have won not only your battle, but your future wars. And you'll be able to help other women break those chains.
That's absolutely right. And that is the reason why I had asked the question earlier, if you had to do it all over again. And I know it's the toughest question that anybody could ever answer, because nobody wants to experience pain over and over again. But if you had to experience it again for the outcome that you have right now and being able to save thousands of lives, would you?
Yes. And I do it. It's not a would I. I'm doing it on this call. I'm doing it in day-to-day life. I'm doing it when I hear little girls talk about, you know, he's older than me. I draw in my daughter's friends, and I open up the conversation, and I promise to give them a safe place to discuss such unsafe conversation.
Yes, absolutely. That is so
and when,
vital.
When they start to bubble up, and when, you know, at first it's a chickle, you know, you're funny, oh, we don't want to talk about it. And then you start hearing these stories, and the fact that I'm not telling them, oh, baby, I'm sorry that happened to you, and not understanding or understanding, I then can share my story, and baby, it's not only you, but you were chosen, and you wear a badge of honor. Because you sharing your story helps your friends not to have to tell that same story.
Absolutely. It's very profound when you can tell your story and it moves people and it changes and it shifts the energy around. Because once you release that, once you let it go, you are also saying that now I'm open to heal others. And you don't even realize the power of what you do until you open your mouth. Like one of the sisters said earlier, she spoke on her situation, and she moved women, and she moved women. And so we don't know that what we go through is purposeful to move things. There's a purpose behind it. But many of us are so in our hurt that we don't realize that. So I thank you so much for sharing that with you.
We're survivors. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to free the line for the other callers. We survive. That we survive because we have other people to help survive. There is nothing that our energy is allowing us. If you're standing outside and you see a kid getting ready to get hit by a car, you're not just going to say, oh, that's not my kid. You're going to intervene.
Right.
You out there in the middle of that street squawking like a chicken trying to keep that person from speeding up on that baby. Why? Because you were chosen. That moment in time and space to be there to do that. And it's the same thing with your own demons and your own issues and your own situations. We are not always going to do it at the same time. But when your time is and when that thing is heavy on you, face that thing. Because you will begin to realize that through you dealing with that thing, you'll be able to free yourself to be open to deal with new things. Things that come to harm us will harm us forever if we don't handle them. If don't make you, it's guaranteed to break you. I love you. Encouraged.
I love you. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate your words. And ladies, take heed. It's a powerful sister. And just tell them about your show that's coming up.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yes.
On a higher note, on a higher note, sisters, we are doing a show on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, and it is entitled The Reservations for the Revolution. Are we ready? This is going to be an empowering show that is going to allow us to meet everyone that calls in and converses and gets on the blog talk and stuff to just let us know, and we'll meet each other where we are to try to come to a conclusion to have a stable foundation to start building and changing kingdoms for our kings and our queens to reign. And not it's not to take lightly. This thing is serious. We're losing our young. We're using our old. It's not even a gender anymore. You know, we're losing our people, and we need each other. And in this, we're going to be discussing that. So all of you feel free to call in. I've posted it. Sister Monique, Ruby and Sunshine has posted it. And we're going to have a phenomenal time in just coming up with master plans and blueprints on how to let our blackness rise. We're breaking chains. We're not adding links.
That's right. That is right. Thank you so much, sister. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right.
Okay,
take another call.
Kiss
that little man back there. I hear him.
Yes, he wants to drink my smoothie. I can't have anything. I tell you what.
That's all right. That baby want to be on the same page as you.
Yes, yes. This is definitely my sunshine.
Okay. Okay, peace.
Peace.
All right. That was awesome. Sister always brings a beautiful message every time she speaks, and I'm so glad to have her on the show, and I'm so glad that she has a platform. We all have a platform that we can start to make changes. So I'm going to go back to the book, and as I talk about these stories, and I read them because they're so profound in how Queen delivers them and how she helps us understand what has happened and what is happening on a global level. And as I speak on a global level, we're going to go to page 85 where she talks about the global voices of angry vaginas. So what has happened here in this country is not just delegated to this country. You have women all over the world that just their whole sexuality is being violated on so many levels, and I'm just going to read something that Queen has wrote. Voiceless. Around the world and throughout history of mankind, one group overpowered another. Those who overpowered those were called masters. Those who lost their personal freedom were called slaves. One result of enslavement is females. Adults and children are forced to have sex against their will, raped. The space below on this page is left blank in honor of thousands of stories that were never told, that never got written. This space is for the voices of the daughters, nieces, dancers, seamstresses, teachers, farmers, queens, mothers, artists, girls, sisters, grandmothers, princesses, women. Their stories continue in the wombs of all of us. Global voices of angry vaginas. So she talks about in this section all the angry vaginas in different areas of the world. Voices of angry vaginas in Morocco. Moroccan women and several human rights organizations like the Moroccan Human Rights Association have asked for an inquiry into forced prostitution of young women, which has become very common in Morocco. So in Morocco, women are being forced to be prostitutes, which is a violation of their sexual and human rights. Okay. In Nigeria, reproductive health issues have glaring disparities in West Africa. Countless Nigerian women are subjected to serious human rights violations, especially in regard to the reproductive health choices and care. Many unofficial reports of rape, genital mutilation, and forced prostitution remain unaddressed by world leaders. And again, you have just a violation altogether. And I've heard of a Nona sister who was from Ethiopia who was subjected to genital mutilation. where they cut. It just, it's hard for me to talk about because it's such a crime, such a crime, to mutilate a woman's genitals. It's just a crime. It's a crime. And it's a total violation. It's disgusting. And you have to ask yourself, you know, with everything that is going on in this world against women, the most vile acts of violence towards us are still happening in great numbers. And it just, it amazes me when I read it. I just got caught off guard with that one. Voices of Angry Vagina in South Africa. Health options for women in South Africa are secondary to genocide activity in this region. Women of all ages are victims of rape, prostitution, AIDS, STDs, and other human rights violations that are not exposed in most international reports. Corrective action is needed. Angry vaginas in Afghanistan. Hundreds of women have been killed because of relatives, male relatives, on a mission of protecting the family honor. Honor killings are murders of females committed by male relatives based on only a suspicion that a female has been sexually promiscuous. Even if a woman has been raped, they will kill this woman or they will abuse this woman. This is total disregard of a woman's life as life allows men to be heroes and remain unpunished for murder. Angry voices, voices of angry vaginas in China. Due to China's long history of national privacy, rapes and dehumanization of Chinese women have been internationally unavailable. Little or no corrective action has been taken in regard of the number of rapes being reported. Rapes seem to be like the most common, heinous crime against women. The easiest thing easiest violation that a man or anybody could ever do to a woman is rape them. And it just seems to go hand in hand in every country. And it seems to be the same in Thailand. It seems to be the same in Mexico. It seems to be the same in Guatemala and in the Caribbean. In the Caribbean, there's a lot more that goes along with it. It says throughout the English and French and Spanish-speaking islands of the Caribbean, women experience serious womb diseases and imbalances. Reports of increase of sexual violence, including rape and mutilation and assault, fibroid tumors, hysterectomies, and cervical and uterine cancers have yet to be reported and documented on women's health issues of heavily regarded in these countries. Heavily guarded in these world-renowned tropical paradises. So there's other things happening in other places. And in Australia and in Canada, the same thing is happening with diseases and just rape. So at the age of 50, Queen of Four says she went into menopause. It was at the summer of 2002, and I thought my hot flashes were due to environmental heat that caused me to sweat. Menopause has caught me off guard. I was in shock. I thought, not me. I'm holistic. This can't be happening to me. I wanted to deny its existence, but the sweats could not be denied. I was making a hormonal shift. It took me a year to adjust physically and psychologically to the change. I was frightened. For the first time, I thought, this is what old age must feel like. But I don't believe in old age. I believe that as long as you take really great care of yourself, you will avoid age symptoms and be vital throughout your life. My belief was almost shattered. If I wanted to enjoy my maturity, I had to really put my health first and be more consistent with my wellness than ever before. So I went in deep with myself. I had put two adult children through college and helped the third with his career and development. I had grown two businesses, Heal Thyself TM Incorporated and Sacred Woman Incorporated. Surely I could do this. I'm embracing my new stage of life holistically through the fears and tears and resistance. I ask support of my sisters about this rites of passage of menopause. Since I have strapped on my tools of wellness, including my sister circle love, menopause will not drive me into the ground. Instead, I intend to ride this eldership piece powerfully and arrive at the threshold of many more rites of passages fully charged. P.S. I can still stand on my head, Queen Afua. And so what Queen is saying in this particular aspect is that because so many women experiencing when they go through menopause, they feel like it's the end. And I also dreaded knowing about that. Like, I haven't gone through that, but I will be in denial about hot flashes. Now, I don't know if I experience hot flashes, but every once in a while, you know, I feel like a hot flash could be coming on. And so it's ironic that how when we are younger, we dread going through our cycle. And then as menopause starts to creep up on us, we dread losing our cycle. It signifies the end of one era and begins another era. And what Queen is saying is not life is not over. And we want to give hope to our sisters that are going through menopause, but life is not over. Life continues. And if we continue to be on a health on a healthy journey, we can begin to look at it as another part of our lives where we can discover who we are as elder women. So with that being said, I'm going to open up the lines one last time because we're going to start to wrap it up. And I'm going to just ask if anyone has any questions or anything that they would like to add. So I'm going to open up the line of last four digits, 2136. Welcome. Welcome.
I'm here, Queen.
Do you have any questions?
No, I just want to say thank you. This was a tremendous show, and the women on the show most definitely needed this opening, and it has really, really helped me to see things in a new light. So thank you so much.
Really, really, wow. It's always something new we learn from these shows, and I learn as I go along with it because I do these shows unscripted, and I kind of just go from the book and go with spirit and just allow things to guide me. And sometimes reading these things, reading in the book gets me emotional, and I try to hold back because I'm like, I got to continue, but I learned so much just in listening to so many stories and how to be able to get others to open up and really let it go. And it's tough, but it works. It works after a while. The stuff that's out there for us in healing is so powerful that we just can't ignore it. We can't ignore it, you know. So thank you so much for joining me. As always, you bring such a beautiful energy. You always make me feel at home because you've been there with me from the beginning, and I'm so grateful for that.
Oh, love you too, Queen.
Oh, I love you. Okay, I'm going to open up a few more callers and see if anybody wants to share anything or has any questions. Caller with the last four digits, 5761. Do you have any questions or anything you'd like to add?
No, I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to thank you for, you know, the show. You know, you're always opening my eyes. Really, you don't know how much you've helped me. I've listened to you on another show, and you really helped me see some things, kind of turned some things.
Oh.
It's a blessing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you have a beautiful spirit. Thank you.
Well, I try to share as much as I can. I know there's so much out there that we can learn from each other, and I'm grateful that I'm learning from sisters, just them being in my circle and being around me, paying attention to things and being mindful, and then being able to kind of process that and then give it back in love. So I'm grateful for that too, and I'm glad that you're listening in.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. And then caller with the last four digits of 9654. Do you have any questions or anything you'd like to add? Okay. And I'll open up 9147. 9147. Do you have any questions or anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm just thankful to be on the call.
All right. Thank you for joining.
I thought it was you. I was like, thank you for doing this particular book.
Always, always, always. It's my honor to be able to share. All right. So I'm going to leave us with something to think about. And then we'll come back next week and we'll start to go a little bit more through the book. I've been going back and forth and back and forth throughout the book, just because there's just going where Spirit is guiding me and helping me be able to share. So, excuse me, if you have the book and you're following along through the book, I'm going in so many different directions because I know that it's necessary. So I'm going to read something called The Center of the Universe. And if you have the book, I'm on page 99, so I kind of jumped. The Center of the Universe. The womb is the center of the universe. On the micro level, a woman's entire anatomy is connected to her womb center. On the macro level, a woman's entire life is connected to her womb center. All humans come through the womb. And when our life has reached this cycle of completion on the earth plane, we transform and return to the womb of the earth. The condition of the womb is a reflection of the woman, the state of humanity, and the state of the world. Wombs are reflections of what is about to happen and what has happened, how women are treated by a husband, a life partner, a mate, community, and or nation reveals the levels and degrees of the vibration of that entity or society. When women of a society is honored, protected, and nurtured, the people in the society in the land flourish and prosper. When women are respected, honored, and loved, and capable of giving birth to health, wellness, tranquility, harmony, and peace. When women are not protected, nurtured, and cared for, the land they occupy becomes barren and the people are doomed for destruction. When women are treated with disdain, they are capable of birthing pain and suffering, resulting in a violent, disease-infested society. Globally, there is an overwhelming evidence that women have been and continue to be abused, abandoned, bought and sold, disrespected, marginalized, mortified, mutilated, poisoned, prostituted, raped, tortured, and wounded. A study of all these atrocities against the womb would fill many volumes and require many hours of discussion. Therefore, only highlights have been presented here in this. How that women have been treated as properly. Now, note how women are treated as property in a variety of ways of cultures. And also note the universal similarity between the act of the womb damage and existence of diseased womb. Begin to understand the correlation of global womb damage and global angry vaginas. Keep in mind that a compromised well-being of a woman announces a threat of wellness to the global family, woman, man, and children. The selected events in this portal that we're going to go into is presented for your information. Historical timeline and circumstances that have significant impact on women in Western and Eastern cultures. Readers, while seeking to heal yourselves, continue to research this information and the related topics. Learning the origins, impact of global interactions with women's bodies will provide a clearer understanding of the impact of women's minds, hearts, spirits, and experiences. With a clearer understanding of what needs to be healed on the individual and global levels, we can begin to be empowered. And what I want to say in likes of that, look at what's happening around us in the world right now. Look at what is happening with the state of this world. And as Queen Afua mentioned in Sacred Woman, the state of a woman's womb reflects the state of the world around us, okay? Or the state of the world reflects the state of a woman's womb. So in a nutshell, everything that is going on right now with our people, everything that is going on with us in our personal lives is a reflection of what is happening inside of our womb. And when our womb isn't well, the world isn't well. And with the world treating women in the way that they've been treating, with the global violation of rape of women across this world, and we wonder why this world is in such disarray, is because the wombs in this world are damaged. And we need to be in a place of healing. And this is why this work is majorly important for all of us. Collectively, we are doing this work and we are reading this book. And we are sharing our stories with other women to begin to collectively heal all of us. But it is amazing how the womb being the center of this universe and all of the atrocities that are being done against the womb is the symptoms are playing itself out in every day. When our men are getting killed, when our women are being violated, where people, there's injustices here. All of this stuff is around us as symptoms of what's going on internally with the earth womb and our own womb. And not just our specific wombs, but the wombs of our sisters, the wombs of our daughters, the wombs of our aunts, the wombs of our elders, all of the women around us, our best friends, you know, people in association with us, the people we know on Facebook, all the women and all the stories that we're hearing about molestation and hurt and pain, is all these injured wombs on some level that is a reflection of everything that is going on energetically in this world. And we have to wake up. We have to recognize when we see something happening in this world, we see an injustice, we have to reflect back on what energy are we providing to that injustice. Are we shifting the energy so that it is positive, or we continue to indulge in the energy that is already out there? Are we continuing to feed into the energy of the negativity around it by putting our brothers and sisters down because they don't do what we expect them to do, because they don't live the way we expect them to, because they don't express themselves the way we want them to? We have to stop being a continuous cycle of negativity and start reflecting on the inside, because every time someone insults me or every time that I insult someone, I'm telling someone my pain. Every time that that person insults me, they are telling me their pain. And it is not about me, and it is all about them. And we have to recognize that. When we come after another brother and sister because of their beliefs, it doesn't have anything to do with their beliefs. It has to do with the belief that you have about yourself. And this is why we attack one another, for validation of what we believe. We have to continuously strive and say, this is what I believe, damn it, hear me. And if you don't hear me, then you are wrong. When in actuality it is, I have some doubt about what I believe right now, but I'm going to express myself until I get heard. And if I have to disrespect you, 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 and you, and you, I'm going to do it so that I can be heard. And it has nothing to do with them. It has all to do with us. We have to reach inside, before we decide to attack or before we come after and attack anybody else. We have to reach inside. Our pain is within. When someone is hurt out there, we don't like what goes on, and we speak out against what goes on, but we have to deal with self. We have to deal with how can we speak out about the atrocities that's going on out there if we don't deal with the atrocity within, if we don't deal with the atrocity that is happening inside of us. How can we face and how can we criticize somebody else and what they're doing? So I leave you on that note. It's something to think about. It's something that we need to look at for ourselves as accountability all across the board. So I thank you all for joining me, and we will resume next week. Have a good evening. Peace and blessings to you all.
Life is like a big merry-go-round. You're up and then down. When in circles trying to get to where you are, everybody.